This is a replay of the Thursday night, September 14th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. Oh, I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
I'm Raleigh James. We've got 3 hours to spend together. I hope you'll join me. 888-876-5593. More to the point, I hope you'll call me. Yeah. Plenty on my mind, actually. Like I was saying, you were just hearing David Jennings talking about the big three automakers probably striking at midnight, which is not far away, to say the least. But when John mentioned it to me earlier today, the first thing I said is, big three by what standard? You know, because when you look this up online, you don't come up with GM, Ford, and what used to be Chrysler, Stellantis now. And would that even count? And then, of course, we get into, well, you know, how many of these cars are truly American or not? And then if it's a foreign manufacturer, should it be considered a U.S. car if it's made here? And on. So we were talking about this, and we had about 20 miles to drive. And I said, well, let's count them. And in 20 miles, we passed a lot of cars, and a lot of cars passed us. I mean, a lot. This would include trucks, too, light trucks. Obviously, I'm not counting semis. All right. So, but in the private market, your basic, you know, sedan or sports car or SUV or pick-em-up truck, you know, things of this nature, we counted all that. And in 20 miles, we saw a total of 5 U.S.-made cars, if you want to count Chrysler as still U.S., since it's technically Stellantis, part of the Fiat group. And everything else was absolutely foreign. And so when I'm hearing predictions of how this will affect the market, and I was trying to find out what, you know, how many American cars are being sold right now. And I think more than anything with Ford, and that's the only U.S. manufacturer on the top 10 list, you take away trucks and it doesn't look good as far as that goes. It seems like trucks, yeah, and, you know, then you get into, is the Cadillac Escalade, you know, an SUV, or is it a disguised truck? Well, either way, some are saying it's overpriced and stay away, and I've got that too. The 9 overpriced cars to stay away from. But I'm curious at your thoughts, because I'm not sure it would matter. Now, one thing that I've noticed that all of the U.S.-based, well, both of the U.S.-based, if we're not going to count Stellantis, Ford, and GM, are talking about retiring gas-powered cars as they expand electric vehicles. And it's interesting, GM is going to discontinue the Chevy Camaro after 2024. Now, the 6-cylinder Camaros, I wouldn't give you anything for them. But the 8-cylinder, the Z28, that was always a great car. And I still have mine that's almost 30 years old now. And I'll tell you, I bought it when I discovered that it had the Corvette engine in it, and it was only $1,000 more than the base prices. And this is the bargain of a lifetime. They got smart after that, and it's not that cheap any longer. But nonetheless, it'll be a thing of the past. And Sorry to hear about that myself. Now, as far as what's too overpriced to buy, and Kelley Blue Book reports what the average buyer pays. And by the way, if you averaged everything from the lowest price to the highest price, the average buyer is paying almost $50,000, which is truly frightening. But when you hear about some of them, it's like, whoa, boy. I don't know if you've bought one or seen one or know of them, but we have the 2023 Audi Q7. And that's only $60,000. Actually, the base price is $59,200. And the people who know what they're talking about, or at least have websites that claim it, like Car Fixer Guide, they say, it boasts luxury, but there's a high cost of maintenance, minimal improvements, can't justify its MSRP. Outperformed by the BMW X5, the Lexus RX350, similar amenities, better value. All right, number two on the list is the Cadillac Escalade. And boy, we drive them, but we don't drive new ones. We drive them because they're a real workhorse to get to transmitter sites that are otherwise hard to reach. And we'll buy them, you know, 15 years old for $5,000 or something, and they'll just run and run and run because essentially they're a truck. Well, I never really priced the new ones until now, but the 2024 Cadillac Escalade is going to start at $91,898. By the way, that's a $10,000 jump from the 2023 model. And so, your basic bells and whistles, but is it really more valuable than a Chevy Tahoe, which is significantly less with similar features? $54,200 for the Tahoe. And there's a couple others that are also, you know, in the same class. 2023 Mercedes-Benz C-Class? Well, this is from Off-Road Genius. Liam Lucas, the automotive expert there, says he doesn't dislike the Mercedes-Benz C-Class. It's just his price tag that he doesn't like. And actually, between $40,000 and $60,000, it's far from the most expensive on the list. But he's saying, hey, the Audi A4 or the BMW 3, better value, lower price, similar features. The 2024 Range Rover Sport starts at $83,600, goes up to $180,000. When I see this as a price, I think it should have indoor plumbing. A luxury SUV with off-road capability. Yeah, at an off-the-chart price. Competitors actually say, you know, the Jeep Grand Cherokee's got similar off-road prowess for a fraction of the cost. Although the Grand Cherokee's no bargain either as far as that goes. The Summit Reserve starts at $71,500. And then you have the Bronco Raptor, the 2023 Bronco Raptor. Ooh, saying bad things about the Bronco? Well, apparently Robert Lutzero, editor of Automotive Widget, says it's one of the most overpriced 4x4 vehicles in the market. And the 2023 model starts at $86,580. I don't know what happens in 2024. The 2023 Rivian R1T, and Auto Globe's weighed in on that, is the most expensive EV all-wheel drive. And he said that Tala Atta from Auto Globe said they simply don't make enough of them to get the $73,000 starting price down to where it should be. As an electric pickup, the Rivian R1 caters to a relatively niche market. That's the understatement of the decade. 2024 BMW iX. All right. Well, pick and pull sell car. That's Nick Robinson's site. It's a marketplace for used car parts, by the way. Doesn't believe that the specs of the iX justify the price tag, which starts in the high 80,000s. He thinks the Tesla Model X, the Audi e-tron, and the Mercedes-Benz EQC offer more bang for the buck. The 2023 Kia Telluride. And Engine Rev Up website, veteran mechanic Jacob Carter there thinks that it's outmatched by similarly priced vehicles in its class. So he's not he is not bitching about the price, which is relatively low. The base price is only basically $36,000. But he's saying, you know, for features, you just can find so much more value in a comparably priced Hyundai Palisade or Honda Pilot. Then we have the 2023 Toyota Sienna, and that's one of the biggest names in minivans. And who was it? Melanie Musson, automotive industry expert with autoinsurance.org, said, Sienna has been one of the most reliable options for years, but in 2020, Sienna switched up the entire lineup, which, again, not pricey. Starts at about $37,000, but what they did was it's consistently hybrid now. And so that's adding to the price tag and also making them less suitable for the needs of many of the minivan drivers. So it's a small engine, might help conserve gas when the van is empty, but if it's loaded, you're going to notice a little bit of lack of power, because we're talking a four-cylinder engine. Yeah, one of my least favorite things. All right, so those are the big nine to stay away from. But in terms of the big three, I don't know if you've ever done it, but as I say, it was a real eye-opener when in 20 miles I only saw five American-manufactured cars. And two of them were Chrysler, so that's Stellantis, so I don't know if you count that. And again, if we threw out trucks, well, I only saw two. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, well, last night, James on the south side mentioned a big twist in the Mellow Fellows, and you're going to hear them next. Then you'll hear from James in Oregon coming up on WGN Radio.
Stand. You got 300 pounds of a muscle and man. This is it, this is it. Look what you get. Now all you girls think your days are done. Don't worry, baby, you can still have fun. The pounds of a heavenly joy. This is it. This is it. Look what you get.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, big twist in the Mellow Fellows. And that's what James from the South Side had mentioned last night. So, yeah, 300 pounds of heavenly joy. All right, so 888-876-5593 would be 8888. Raleigh, and kicking it off tonight is James in Oregon. So, James, what's going on tonight?
Hey, good evening. I was talking about some radio shows I was listening to, but I got interested too when you were talking about the cars and the new cars. I'm just wondering who's going to be able to afford these cars at the prices, and how do they finance them?
Well,
now, you know,
unfortunately, that's the problem. You know, it's been probably now over 40 years since I first realized that when people were going to the auto shows, they were no longer asking what does the car cost. They ask what are the payments. And back then, 40, 45 years ago, it was usually 3 years worth of payments. Well, now 7 years is probably the norm. And so 84 months. And so for most people, they don't look at the big figure. And they should. Absolutely, they should. Yeah. But they don't. On some of these models, frankly, I would say that the payments are going to outlast the car. But and the other thing, of course, is if you're buying them new like that and you're financing them, the minute you drive off the lot, you're driving a liability because you owe more than it's worth.
Yeah,
so,
but I'm telling you now, buy gap insurance before you drive it off the lot.
But what is, you know, it's interesting, what is the, what is the percentage of cars that are financed? I'm going to see if we got a number on that. New cars.
Yeah. I'm just wondering. I mean, it's, about 98, I started buying Ford, and they were selling them Now you wouldn't, they wouldn't deal with you, but you got them at no interest loans
right.
for 4 years, 5 years. So
and you're
every
still,
every dollar.
Right. You're still seeing some of that, actually. But over 85% of new cars are financed, and that's as of this year. So it's high. And you're right, gap insurance for what the car's worth versus what happens if you total it is probably something, if you're paying on time, you'd better figure out.
Yeah. I mean, we were looking at new cars and, you know, and my wife likes SUVs, you know, she just prefers them. And I mean, they're starting out at 50 grand now, you know.
You know, like I say, we've got a couple Escalades and I think we paid about $5,000 a piece for them. But of course, they're more than 15 years old. But those engines will easily make it 400,000 miles. So what do I care?
Yeah. And they can always rebuild them. I told my wife, I said, you know, that's why they make parts. They can rebuild them engines. You know.
Well, after a while, you might get a real sticky problem, either electrical or something like that, where you're saying, okay, time to retire this bad boy. But my answer is then get another one. No, I've never financed anything. If I can't pay cash, I don't need it.
Yeah. Well, I'm just wondering how, you know, they talk about the younger people coming up and they can't afford a house, they're not going to be able to afford a car either. You know?
Well, many of them don't. Now, that's a trend among young people who, especially in large metropolitan areas where they can get away with this, but they don't want to own a car.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. But
even the electric cars now, even they're high. And then even though the government's given, I think, some kind of incentives to buy them, you know, but.
You know,
like that. They're still high.
No, absolutely they're high.
Yeah.
Where they're saying 85%, it's been higher than that in the past. The average car payment for a new vehicle is $725 a month, which is just huge. Yeah, I know. That again, is for a new vehicle. If you look at all cars financed, new, used, and everything else, the average monthly payment is $467. But yeah, for a new car, going to set you back, you know, what used to be the cost of rent plus, you know. So I don't know.
Well, my first house I bought in Ohio was an old home, and I paid $15,000 worth an acre of land on it.
Right.
And now it was an old house. But, you know, I fixed it up and everything, and it was livable and stuff like that. And then we moved to California, and I got a house there, and it was like $70,000. I freaked out, man. I said, I can't afford this, you know.
Right.
But my wife was a nurse, so, you know, it was doable. But it freaked me out when you go from a $110 a month payment to like a $600, $700 a month payment.
Yeah,
it freaks you out. But anyway. But that was my comment on the cars and stuff. I just don't know how people are going to afford them, you know. But
you know, that can be said about so much. You know, when I go out for fast food lunch and it's almost $50, I don't know what people are doing. See, none of it makes any sense to me. I don't care what segment of the economy you discuss. The prices are just insane. And again, you know, other than easy availability of credit, I don't know how the average person is surviving this.
Well, I heard... Was it a month ago or something on one of the news channels or something? They said that credit card debts in the U.S. was over $1.5 billion.
No, it's in the trillions now. Hang on a minute.
We've
gone into the news. So
we don't want to do that.
We just have. So all right. Thanks for calling, James. I appreciate it.
Okay, I'll call back later on the
thanks.
Radio shows. Okay,
appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, and if you're listening on the stream, you're hearing this. Of course, if you're listening to WGN, I don't need to say anything because you're not hearing this. But Bob at Master Control is doing the absolute right thing, which is cut me off when it's time to go. And he did that.
She's got style, she's got grace. I would do anything just to be in your place. You're my best friend, you know that. I would do you no wrong. There's a moon out
tonight, and I don't want to be alone. Maybe day in a show, we could come back to my place where the lights are down low. I know love is a gamble, got my eyes open wide, spin my heart like a wheel. I feel look at the night.
Ask her, ask her, does she have a
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, Gene Chandler in 1980 on 20th Century. Does she have a friend for me? All right. So it was Johnny Goen who last night said he'd like to hear that, and I'm happy to play it. All right. So cars and whatever else is on your mind. I think we're going from cars to planes right now for a moment, because we'll talk to Eduardo in Tampa. What's going on, Eduardo?
Hey, Raleigh. Well, first let me get this out of the way, because you know, you'll be asking about it. So the Marriott soap opera's over. They chose somebody else.
No! You were the ideal candidate. What's wrong with these people? Well, all right.
Well, I was one of, 23-something applicants, so...
Yeah, but I thought...
I mean, in one way, that was encouraging, because we were wondering, you know, is anybody wanting the job, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They all want to be, you know... getting something in the mail, you know, getting a suntan, you know, nobody wants to work, so.
Well, apparently 23 people wanted to, but, all I can say is something better is going to come along. I'm still rooting for the hospital.
Well, yeah, and I talked to them, too, and they were indicating that the department is going to be expanding, and they told me to periodically check with them.
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, you're an
but
asset.
I'm not going to...
You know,
I won't just.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, I won't just like stick to that. You know, I'll work on other possible. You know, yeah.
Sure.
I don't want to get stuck on, you know, just the hospital. Yeah.
No, I agree with that. But as I say, you're a real asset, especially being fully bilingual.
Right.
That should be a no-brainer.
Of course, yeah. Especially in Florida, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Sure.
All right. Well, good luck. Keep me posted. All right, now.
Yeah, definitely. So speaking of Florida, you probably saw this. So these three people, only one is going, the TSA people.
Yeah.
So only one of them is going to trial.
Right, right.
One of them is getting like some kind of program where they got to pay like $700 and do 25 hours of community service. I think they should all have been more disciplined and kind of face.
What Eduardo's talking about, good old Miami International Airport, turns out that in this case, three TSA agents were making a side living, and they were making a side living stealing from the passengers as they went through security. The first one to be arrested was a woman, and they've since dropped the charges on her, and I don't know why.
Right.
She allegedly removed $600 from a wallet. But the other two were somewhat working in tandem, and it was interesting that they had this down to somewhat of a science how they would get the money. And so far, as far as I know, it's money. I don't know that they're taking anything else, but they were managing to extract it pretty well. And, you know, my first question, of course, is how long has this been going on where they got away with it? That's the first thing. And number two is, and how many other airports are seeing the same things? You know, what I'd love to see is the statistics of flyers who complain of this.
Yeah, I don't think these people are like a special case. I think it's going on in other airports too.
Well, I do too. And it's really confined to cash in a way. You have to be stupid if you were taking items, because of course, you know, that could be proven. But when you're talking about cash, it's highly unlikely. It's your word against the travelers. And I think now maybe with these arrests, there'll be a little more heightened interest, at least by TSA personnel. But, stealing from passengers, you betcha. Are you surprised?
Yeah. Not really.
Right.
Although just an interesting thing is, speaking of jobs, they were actually one of the agencies that were at the one of the job fairs I attended here in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
So that was interesting. So they're definitely getting people, you know, for those positions. But are they doing a good job screening them?
Right. Well, and also, are they being paid fairly? And the reason I say that is
yeah.
If they're, you know, I think that depending on where you are, from what I understand, it depends where you are. It can be anywhere from $6.53 an hour to $50.18 an hour. The majority of TSA jobs fall between $14.70 to $32.44. Well, you know.
Yeah, I found the flyer.
Yeah. Yeah. You look at
that. Yes, it's just a little bit here. Seeking to fill full-time and part-time competitive pay, growth potential, federal benefits, paid on the job training. So there you go.
Well, competitive pay to what? McDonald's? You know, I mean, those figures for the most part don't sound tremendously
competitive. That's the flyer. Yeah, that's what it says on the flyer. Yeah.
Yeah, competitive. Well, competitive, like I say, competitive job day. When you're asking somebody to be in a position of trust, I think you need to pay them enough that they're otherwise not not inclined to enrich themselves. Now, I realize that money alone doesn't make somebody honest or dishonest, but nonetheless, I think that if you're talking about people who are really poorly paid, they figure, what the hell? You know, mm-hmm. Yeah, not all of them, but enough of them. So
yeah, and then given the economic times and, you know, gas going up, you know, this stuff will be going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you have it. Well.
Yeah, well, we'll see if they catch other people.
Well, and also at other airports. And if nothing else, hopefully this will cause flyers who have found themselves in a situation where they've been robbed to do something about it. For the most part, you kind of shrug your shoulders and say, well, it's my word against theirs. I nothing I can do here. But hopefully if people have been shorted, they should complain about it.
You know, and another thing, too, not related to this, but the way they do it, because, you know, I went to Chicago this past weekend, and so I get to the end, and then you're going back to get the stuff, and then, okay, whose stuff is this? So you kind of forget because stuff gets separated because
mm-hmm.
they all went on everything on a separate tray.
Right,
so
right.
People can lose stuff, you know.
Well, there's all sorts of things that can happen, you betcha.
So.
Well, another reason not to fly.
Yeah, one of my coworkers from the company, she would never fly. She would always do the car trip. So there you go.
Yeah, me too. I'm with her. All right.
Okay, we got to do what she does then.
That's it. Get in that car and drive. But of course,
you know,
depending on the person, of course, that's not always feasible. But it always has been for me. All right, keep me posted. I want to hear it, Laura. Thanks.
Have a good weekend.
You
yeah.
too. All right, so 888-876-5593, and Bruce in Elwood is going to enlighten us, I do believe, about car financing. So, Bruce, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Riley. How are you doing tonight?
All right, how about yourself, Bruce?
I'm doing okay. I'm like you. I had all American cars. I mean, I had Vets and Trans Ams and everything up till 2008. I had an Explorer, and I had to upgrade, and nobody made a car in the U.S. that I like, so I started buying Mazdas.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like on my third Mazda, and they're just, knock on wood, a great little car.
They are.
I'm like 100,000 miles, and just, I mean, very sporty. And you know, I'm widowed, so I'm alone, and it's just a perfect little, I got a little mini SUV now, all-wheel drive, and mm-hmm. I just love that little thing. But
well, we've had Miatas over the years, three of them, actually, I think, two or three. In any event, they were great cars, but the only problem with Miatas is they are noisy as hell, you know, no matter how you slice it, because they're, you know, supposedly convertible, and I know they have the hard top option, but they're still noisy. But and of course, you know, four-cylinder engine, so underpowered. But it was a spry little, it had great pickup, you know, as far as that goes. It was a spry little car.
My little Mazda has as much as one of my Trans Ams had.
Oh, no, they do very well with pickup. No doubt about it. Where you notice it is when you're going uphill on on an interstate and you're trying to pass somebody.
Yeah.
It's you don't have power, but you got great torque.
But what I want to talk about is this financing.
Yes.
Now, I don't know who else has it, but Ford has it because someone I know just got it, and was trying to figure out how to understand it. It's only been within the last couple of weeks.
Okay.
But if you don't have any equity.
Mm-hmm.
And you go out and buy one of these $60,000-$70,000 trucks.
Mm-hmm.
They have a plan where you finance it for 3 years at a lower payment,
and then the balloon comes due.
Exactly. That's as near as I can figure the way it is. After, because people are trading in cars. Nobody's paying their cars off. They're trading in cars that they don't really even have any equity in.
Mm-hmm.
So you buy this, and after 3 years, you have to make a decision. You get a lower payment for the 3 years, then they call it refinancing. But what you're saying is all your payments go up.
Well,
but you have equity in it. And
it's a blank check at that time, really, because you don't know what the Fed's going to be with interest rates.
No, that's your option. After 3 years,
right.
You have to either get rid of, trade it back into them and get another one at the lower payment, or your payments shoot up.
Mm-hmm.
But that way you have some equity in your vehicle.
Yeah, they call it flex buy.
Okay, yeah.
And,
it's actually
a lease that is, as long as 6 years, but the first 36 months are discounted. And it's like, I think, 18% in some cases. And then the payments after that are higher, and you got to pay off the full balance. But yeah, so they have that flex flex pay if you want it.
That's crazy.
Well, I think it's crazy to finance cars. That's just me.
Well, I do too. That's why, like I said, I stuck with the Mazda. I got the top of the line of the mini SUV, all-wheel drive, four-cylinder, everything in it, the radar cruise, everything in that thing, and it listed at $34,000.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it gave me a good trade-in on my old one. I actually had another Mazda, and I hit a pothole and split the tire and bent the rear trailing arm.
Oh, yeah.
So I put the donut on and drove to the dealer. Came home and got my title, drove to the dealer, walked in and bought it. I was walking out with a new one in two hours.
Yeah. No, that's sad, but that happens. Yeah,
I was able to not have to get into that crazy financing trap.
Well, exactly. Now, there are some financing deals you'll see, particularly on some of the high-end cars, where they'll say, zero payments for a year and or 0% for a year. If somebody has the cash and is investing the cash and getting more in terms of percentage-wise, sure, take that for a year because you won't lose. But that's not a I have to finance it deal. That's just, hey, dollar for dollar, I'm better off taking up their freebie. But the people who are going for flex pay, they usually are going there because they have to. So
it was funny that day I went to trade that car in. I drove it up there, and I barely made it. The donut was going flat, and it was all dirty. I had changed the tire, and I walked in, and some older guy looked at me and put his nose up and sat at his desk, and some young kid came up to me. And 2 hours later, that kid made a sale.
Good. Excellent. That's just the way it
should be. The guy ignored
me
because I'm an old guy. I hadn't shaved in a while. I had on an old T-shirt, and he just thought I was looking. Well,
right. Well, guess what? Good for you. All right.
Yeah, it felt so good.
Betcha. Okay, thanks, Bruce. Appreciate it. All right.
Okay, bye-bye.
So we'll get to Linda from Richland Park. We'll get to Cleveland Dennis, and hopefully you too here on WGN Radio.
You wonder why I never asked where you've been, where you're going, what you do. Cause I know.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Those are Five Flights Up. Yeah, there were a five-man band. Well, women, too, actually. Geneva Crawford and Carl Netta Kelly, as well as Blanton McFerrin and Charles Turnell and J.B. Bingham, who wrote it. And that was their medley of hits, as far as that goes. 1970 on T.A. Do What You Want to Do. And it was Jimmy P. who requested that. And Jimmy P. also wanted me to pass on his deepest sympathies to Johnny D. And we'll talk more about Caesar next hour. But right now, we'll check out the news. Then we'll get to Linda. We'll get to Cleveland Dennis. And hopefully you, too, coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Those are the Magic Lanterns, a British group. They used to be the Sabres, and that's sort of their lone hit stateside. And the deal about that is it came out in 68 in Atlantic, but the original was actually 67 on Columbia, and that was Keith Colley, who also wrote it. He's the guy who did, well, I can't even pronounce it, Enamorado. Yeah, I'll play it some night, and you'll hear it. But he's from Spokane. But anyway, so I always think of the Keith Colley version. But it was Jimmy P. who said, I want to hear the Magic Lanterns. And so he did. And that's good. If you leave me phone messages with song requests, I'll try to find them if I like them. And that's the real key there. Now, on the other hand, if you leave me phone messages that just go on and on, I'm never going to hear them. I'm just not. So, yeah, I tell you, I just block someone. Yeah, after a while, it's like, no. What I really want you to do is call the show, and that's 888-876-5593. Now, I was going to tell you about Caesar. Like I say, Jimmy P. wanted to make sure I passed his thoughts on to Johnny D. and the lovely Becky. And today was the day, 4 p.m., Caesar crossed the Rainbow Bridge. And needless to say, Johnny D. will not be calling in tonight, and I fully understand that. He's down in Caesar's Palace right now, and he had sent me an email saying, I can feel that he's here, but I know he's not. Oh, I disagree. I think he absolutely is there with you. And I don't know how you would be able to confirm that, because I'm not one that, able to talk to people on the other side of the veil. But I absolutely believe that the spirits live on. And as I was saying, eventually Johnny D. will be reunited with all the dogs he's loved, and hopefully not too soon for our sake. But, in some ways it's all in the blink of an eye. But it's tough. And it's also tough because if you're a pet lover, dog or cat, doesn't matter, or, maybe you've got something else, because, snakes count too. Yeah. I kind of was like tarantulas. But whatever it is that you've bonded with, the bottom line is that's a relationship for you. And when the time inevitably comes, and it will, because almost all the species that you would keep as pets are, you're going to outlive them, unless you've gone for a macaw parrot or something. But for the most part, you're going first, and you will have to go through this. And one of the hardest things you can possibly do is make that decision. Make that decision to say, my animal is suffering, and I am going to put him out of this misery. Because animals are just that, they're animals. It's not like they're going to have a lot of spiritual thoughts. They're all about their bodies. And when their body fails them, it's time to go. And so it was for Caesar today, and a hard decision all the way around. So our prayers and thoughts are with you, Johnny D. and Becky. And I bet you Caesar's right there. All right, Linda in Richland Park. Eye surgery, huh? Tell me all about it, Linda.
You know, I was telling John that someone had called in a week ago, I think it was, about the new surgery that he had heard about. And it was on the optic nerve.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a little wire or something that they put in your brain or something. I was halfway asleep. And I've been thinking all week long, I said, I'm going to call Riley and see if she can get that guy to call back and he can see what type of surgery. It was research that they were doing on the optic nerves. I said, I'm really on everything that'll help your eyes. As a matter of fact, I am going to my eye doctor next week, and he said I might could stand to have a cornea. And if so, I might be able to see.
Yo, that's
so
great.
I had a cornea about 8 years ago. They said sometimes they wear out, they fold, or the edges get, rigid.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to go, and if that be the case, and he feel that I need a cornea, maybe I'll be able to see a little bit better, because I can just see shadows and stuff like that. So I said, well,
that'd
I was listening to your show, and this guy called in, and he was talking about this surgery that they were doing. I don't remember where it was, so I was halfway asleep, but I know it was on the optic nerve. So I said, maybe if he's listening tonight, he might call in and refresh us again on it, because I know other people are interested in it too.
Right. And one of the things you can do is go to clinicaltrials.gov, and you will see all the trials that are going on for virtually anything. And I hope he'll call in too, but you can take a look at all the things. But if you're talking about a corneal transplant, it sounds like it's not your optic nerve that's the problem.
I don't really know, because I have three different eye doctors.
No, yeah, right, specialists. And they're all specialists, yeah.
Yeah, they're all specialists, and they don't seem like they halfway know what they're talking about. Maybe I just get frustrated with it or something. I don't know. Something's the matter. So when I call one time, you said I need to get a life, because I kept dreaming I was at work,
Right, right.
And I'm still having those dreams. Last night I dreamed I was at work, and I didn't even ever like my job like that.
Yeah, right. That's not a dream. It's a nightmare. Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, geez, I tell you.
I keep dreaming the same. I'm doing something that I don't really care to do, and I have that little short dream. I said, oh, my God, when am I going to ever stop dreaming about this, my coworker?
Right.
So anyway.
Well,
I do love your show, and you're very, very smart lady. I hope you live forever.
Oh, no. I don't want that. But, no one's ever said, dear Lord, let me linger. So I hope whenever I go out, it's just doing what I like or being asleep or not even knowing it.
Yeah, that is a good way to go. But I'm sorry about Johnny D's dog.
Well, James, it was James from Oregon who called about the surgery, so I will talk to him next and see what I can find out. But it sounds like you might be in luck if you can do the corneal transplant, because that, frankly, has a much higher success rate than anything when we're talking about optic neuropathy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Well, keep me posted.
I hope that be the case. I will. I'll keep you posted. And could you play something by Lou Rawls?
Absolutely.
All right. Okay. I'll keep listening. I'm going to hang up and let you go. And
good
thank
deal.
You for
Thanks.
Everything.
Absolutely. Thanks for calling. All right. All right. So
we'll
get to James in Oregon. He's the one who called in with the surgery. Then we'll get to Cleveland, Dennis, and find out more. And again, trials all the time for a variety of things. And that's why it never hurts to kind of bookmark a site that will let you know, clinicaltrials.gov, what's out there at the moment. And there's several regarding optic nerve damage. All right, so 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Lady love, your love is peaceful like a summer's breeze. With love that's tender as a baby's touch, you give me all of the things that I need so much. You're my world, lady love. Oh. Lady love, your love is cooling like the winter snow. My lady love, with a love that's cozy as a fire's glow. And I keep on needing you, girl, a little more and more. And I thank you, my lady love. You know, it's not easy, keep love going smooth. People are people and they all have their moods. But it's so nice just to have someone like you who wants a smooth and easy
thing. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that's Philadelphia through and through. Yeah, not that Lou Rawls is a native, but that's Philadelphia International in 1977. And it was Jack Faith who arranged it. And he was a flautist from Philadelphia, brother of Russ Faith and Bill Faith, the Faith brothers. And the mastering was interesting because that was Nimitar Sarakananda. And he worked at Frankford Wayne Recording Labs in Philadelphia. And I think his nickname was Nim, You're Being Really Fussy, Sarakananda. And that was true. Just some beautiful work. And I'm always impressed by that, considering like when we talk about the San Antonio oldies, and some of them are just so great, but the recording quality is just so bad. But Nim never turned out a bad product. So back to James in Oregon, who called about the trial. So what can we tell Linda?
I would tell her, I don't know what her issue is, but I heard you say something about corneal transplants. So I'm assuming her eye is probably okay. It's just her lenses or corneas that might be needing replaced. But what this thing is, my understanding is, it's strictly a trial. So they bypass the eyeball, bypass the optic nerve and stuff, and then they put some sort of I'll say glasses. It's like a camera of some sort. But I don't know the full details because I haven't heard from the research doctor yet. It's been, about a week and a half now?
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds to me like even I'm kind of not sure of what I want to do because my optic nerves are okay. It's just diabetic issues that damage the eye. And they're trying to correct that stuff with stem cells and other things.
Right.
So that's what I'm doing. But like a person that has lost their eyes and stuff like that, that would be a wonderful thing for them, maybe, you know, because now they'll be able to see again, you know. In a way, see.
Right. Oh, absolutely. And of course, there was the former device that wound up, the bionic eye that wound up, being pulled off the market, leaving the company went belly up. But neural implants, you betcha. But I have a feeling that Linda is not there, which is lucky. But, you're talking about the neural implants that send a camera feed into blind people's brains, basically. So,
yeah,
it's fascinating.
Yeah, but what I would suggest to her and anybody else out there is, and you know, I've given out before, is go to clinicaltrials.gov.
Yeah, that's what I say for anything. See what's out there.
Yeah, yeah. See what's out there. Because if this is a clinical trial, it's got to be listed on there.
Right. And the thing is, there are some you will not want to do because you'll look at it and say, hey, wait a minute, you know, I'm not willing to go through this. And that's fine. But there may be things that you say, hey, I'm a good candidate for this trial. They'll.
Well, I'm thinking, like, do I want them to stick a wire of some sort into my brain? You know, I don't know.
Well, it doesn't sound like that's really, you know, probably optimal for you based upon what you've got going on.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, but it's I mean, because if you lost an eye and or both eyes or whatever, and they're damaged and they can't be fixed or whatever,
right?
It sounds like a wonderful thing for some people. So
well, and also people, even if they have their eyes, but they have the kind of neural damage that they're just not making the connection anymore.
Yeah. But I'm thinking one day they'll just stick a wire through your eyeball and where your lens is at. They'll put a micro camera in there and boom. Yeah,
maybe so, but your description caused me pain just thinking about it. But yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Nobody's sticking wires in my eyes today, that's for sure. Absolutely.
They put you out.
Yeah, one way or another, they sure hell do. All right, James, thanks for calling back.
Okay.
Appreciate
Good
it.
Good evening. Okay.
All right, so 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh. In a minute, we'll get to Cleveland Dennis. I hope he's still hanging on. We'll talk cars. We'll continue to play your requests. Well, Jimmy P's more than anybody. And if it's on your mind, I'll make sure it's on mine. But I have about a minute before we check in with news again. And Bob is keeping me in line tonight. So I'm just prattling on with something close to nothing at the moment. Hopefully you earlier did your prosperity check because the full moon happened. And that happened at 8:40 Pacific time. And I'd say, 9:40 here and 8? Well, I'll have to look it up. Marianne's site will tell me that. And I will. But I gave you the information as it was. I guess, 8:40 Central time was the deal. 8:40 Central time tonight. And hopefully you did that. If not, you don't know what we're talking about, well, go to MaryAnnWinkowski.com and find out about the law of abundance. Other than that, well, several things. I the week usually goes by, and Carol does me this great, great show prep, which tells me everything that's happening, and invariably, especially historically speaking, invariably the show ends and I didn't tell you anything. So, right, and Amy Winehouse would have been 40 today. Yeah. Well, I know what I gotta play. All right, so we'll come back with that on WGN Radio.
They tried to make me go to rehab. I said no. I've been black, but when I come back, no, no, no. I ain't got the time, and if my daddy thinks I'm fine, just try to make me go to rehab. I won't go.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that is Amy Winehouse, who would have turned 40 today, and just a tragedy, she didn't. She was from London, died July 23rd of 2011, and it's interesting when you read about her life and her death, because really everybody will highlight the alcohol poisoning, or they'll highlight the drugs she had taken as well, although at the time of her death it was strictly alcohol in her system. But they don't usually include the other comorbidities, such as she was bulimic. And she had stopped drinking entirely for a while. In fact, she talked to her doctor the night before, because she had, after a period of abstinence, got back to drinking. And the doctor said, you know, why? What's your motivation? She said, I'm just bored. But she also said, I don't want to die. And that was within 24 hours that she did, unfortunately. So, yeah, too much alcohol mixed with the bulimia and all the effects that the drugs over the years had on her. Just took her out of the game, and that was 27 years old. Yeah, 27 seems to be an interesting number for rock stars, but nonetheless. So that was the deal on Amy Winehouse. It was on Universal Records for the most part. 888-876-5593. We'll see if Cleveland Dennis hung in there. Are you still with us?
Yeah, Janis Joplin, James Morrison, Jimi Hendrix, all yeah. 27
right.
when they
right.
were finished. Yeah, but listen, I'm calling because I was going to ask you about law of abundance, but you already mentioned that a couple minutes ago. But the answer to where do people get all this money to buy these cars, I think a lot of them end up using credit cards, don't they?
Well, no. Rarely do people finance the car with a credit card. By the way, I have known people who do. I know a guy. Yeah. I know a guy. I swear to God, this is the truth, that I worked with in Los Angeles, who actually financed his house on American Express. I had to say to him, "Do you realize what kind of interest you're going to be paying on this?" Well, I got the house. Yeah, all right.
That's all that matters. Sometimes they got it. My good friend got a 23 Escalade, about $71,000, and I'm going to ask him what you mentioned about the gap insurance. I find that interesting.
Oh yeah, no. If you're buying new cars and you're financing them, you need that gap insurance. But then you know if you can't write a check for the $71,000, then I say to yourself, well, why do you need a new one? Because they come down in price so dramatically, so quickly.
He knows that. He's had a couple of the used ones, but finally he broke down and bought a new one because he says he started dealing with their problems. Anyhow,
yeah.
I liked it the other day that you played Buddy Holly, True Love Ways, and I would ask you in relation to that, can you play Skip and Flip, or did you already do that one?
I'll do it was I for you tonight. I forgot all about it, but I'll do it.
No, that would be great, but I just want to mention, with all these cars, you know, at the high prices, that's all they sell when you watch, you know, like I do. And all you see is automobile ads and insurance ads.
Well, you know, it's interesting when you talk about that. It depends what time you're watching. Because, of course, if you're watching it off hours and replays and stuff like that, you'd swear all you're seeing is Medicare supplements, or other
no.
things like that. But
okay.
You know. Automakers have always been big at advertising, and you'll remember when you were a kid back in the day listening to Top 40 radio at night, you were hearing about Pontiac Glide Track and everything else.
My dad was a car salesman, Raleigh, new and used for years, and what I learned is just like you, I don't buy them new. I did when they gave me a car allowance, and I was a suit and tie guy, traveling God's Green Acre here in the Midwest, but after the lease was up, I gave the car back, but then, you know, about 2000 or so, I was done with all that, and I just buy a $10,000 car and use it till I get buy another $10,000 car.
Yeah, I'm with you. And, you know, you mentioned leases.
Yeah.
A lot of people find out the hard way that some of the clauses in leases will cost them more than they ever dreamed. If they're driving over the mileage, or if there's a nick on this or damage on that, you know, you take it back and they want to charge it.
Yeah, I fought with them at a dealership over here over a car I wanted to take over and buy.
Uh-huh.
They wouldn't sell it to me. All they wanted was the money that I owed them. And I ended up paying them, but I never dealt with them again.
Right,
anyhow,
no, absolutely.
Best car I ever had, 87 Cougar XR7, four-cylinder water turbo. Bought it in Cleveland, brought it over here to Chicago when I moved, but had about 80,000, 90,000 miles on it, and I said, this four-cylinder is not going to make it.
Wow.
So I traded it in, and moved on from there. But the next time you have a car show, we'll talk about more cars. But
all right. Well, anytime you want, call and bring it up.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
So, bye. Yeah, those leases. And the operative thing to look for is close-end lease, CEL, because that basically means that, yeah, you can lease it for that period of time, but just like what happened with Cleveland Dennis, don't think that you can necessarily take it over. There are some leases where you can, but there's many where you can't, and boy, they ding you for everything. All right, so we've got Fran and Austin. What's going on, Fran? Fran. Talk to me.
Oh, here I am.
There you are. I knew sooner or later you'd wake up. Hello, operator.
Now you can tell I'm not wearing my hearing aids.
Ah, all right. Well, that's a good excuse as any. I'll take it.
I don't even want to look at the things.
Yeah.
Anyway, you're talking about those, whatever it is that they do to your eyes, and he was saying that you can have that done even if you don't have your eyes anymore?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
They work it with a camera.
Oh, sorry.
They work it with a camera, and there's trials right now on that. And theoretically, they can make the image translated in your brain. And, you know, in some cases you wear a pair of glasses that have the camera. There's a couple different ways they're trying to do that. I don't think anybody's perfected it yet, but there's suddenly, in the last few years, a lot of trials.
Wow. I mean, personally, I don't think I'd do it at this point in my life. I might have done it when I was maybe in my 20s or 30s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but now it's like, I've been blind for 69 years, you know?
Right, and absolutely.
I'm used to it.
Right.
But what I can't figure out is, like, because I've always thought, well, if all of a sudden I could see, I wouldn't have a clue what was going on. I might think I'm going crazy.
Yes.
I might think, you know, am I hallucinating?
Yes.
You know?
All true. Years ago, Kimberly had asked me, she said, well, that woman who had a near-death experience, a blind woman who suddenly could see, that can't really be true because she'd be freaked out and just not have any idea what she's looking at. And I said, well, the reality, though, is that once you're in that space, you're not only who you are in this body, but all your past lives and all that. So in that space, she probably absolutely was able to relate to that. But, you know, while you're here on the terra firma.
Yeah, I remember that because I remember us talking about that and I read the book and your interview with the woman and I can see how that could happen because it's not like it would be different if I woke up tomorrow and could see because I'm on this plane of existence.
Exactly.
I don't have this in this plane of existence. I have no knowledge of what sight is.
Right.
In previous lives I probably did have sight.
Oh, I'm guaranteeing. Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, turn on the lights, I know what I'm seeing because I've seen it before, but boy, if you did it now, my grandmother is probably laughing in her grave because she had a fit when I had my eyes removed.
Really?
I mean, she was totally against it, and I said, I am not living the rest of my life on pain meds.
Right.
Because the glaucoma was just so bad that, you know, I couldn't hardly function, and you know, I've at that point I had not seen for 20 something years. I figured, oh well, you know.
there
are worse things than not being able to see.
Right, the pain level, and people don't understand what that can be. That absolutely you can't live long term that way. So
they couldn't even. My eyes were so swollen, they couldn't even give me injections for them anymore.
Which is really sad. You know, I don't know where they are on that now. I think they've come a long way, but obviously it's still an issue.
Yeah, but I was just kind of laughing because my grandmother had such a fit. Oh, medical science is coming out with new things every day, and I am not staying in pain until I'm 80 just to find out that they can do something.
Well, right, and of course with that in mind, yes, and now medical science is trying to find ways that you wouldn't need your eyes to see.
Yeah, and so, you know, that's kind of interesting. If I were younger, I might. But then again, I don't know, because of that place that I guess they had something and then they just pulled support for
it. Oh, yes, just, that was horrible.
That is just, that's criminal. Those people should be, well,
well they,
I won't even say on the air what those people should get.
No, we talked about it at the time, yes. Boiled in tar would be okay. I agree. And so that's one thing as they try other things in these trials, that there should be a way that if they're going to market something, that there's a fund that it will continue to exist.
Right. I certainly wouldn't want to have something like that done and then all of a sudden not be able to.
Exactly.
I'd be worse off than where I started from.
Well, that's absolutely right. And imagine knowing that was coming, because the device had a lifespan. And so people who were still using it knew that one day the lights were going out and there was nothing they could do about it. I know.
Yeah.
I agree. There's a certain hell for that. So now, the kidney stones.
Another reason I'm calling.
The kidney stones.
Is because I am nervous about this lithotrip, whatever it is, thing I'm getting. My kidney stone.
Yeah, when are you doing it?
Monday.
Okay, hang on a minute. Don't go away. We're gonna talk about this with Fran. And we got Laurie in Chicago who's got a request. And Karen in Chicago who has lost a guide dog. Oh, that's sad. All right, so all that and more coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Belltone Records, 1962. Eugene Pitt wrote it, and the Jive 5 recorded it, These Golden Rings, and that's what Jimmy P. wanted to hear. But, you know, I'm always sort of on the fence. I kind of like the Turbans version of that. It's interesting. I was just looking at the Turbans version, which was, by the way, a flip side on Parkway in 1961, and we don't have the same songwriter. All right, so we'll figure it out. Maybe they're not even the same song. What do I know? I better listen to them back to back, and I'll do that coming up on the news. Then we'll get back to Fran in Austin, and I want to hear all about what's going to happen Monday. And yeah, there's nothing worse than the night before a surgery. I don't care how many you've had or how minor it is. You know you're going in for a procedure, and man, the mind just goes to control, alternate, and delete. Yeah, it really does. You're just, I don't care what it is. I have never talked to anybody who wasn't nervous as hell. So we'll help Fran get through this, and she will, you know that. But of course, that's easy for me to say. Well, we'll find out what she's got to say. Coming up, we'll talk to Laurie in Chicago and Karen in Chicago, and hopefully you too next hour on WGN Radio. Those are the Dubs. Yeah, I know Scotty loved that song, and Jimmy P does as well. So happy to play it. And Be Sure My Love, the Dubs, 1958 on Gone. And Richie Barrett wrote that. All right, so we're talking to Fran in Austin, who's got the surgery coming up on Monday. And obviously, you've read all about this. So when you're sitting there saying, oh, my God, what are your biggest concerns?
Don't know much about it, really, other than what the doctor told me.
What did he tell you?
The stone is not that big. I didn't realize that I was going to be put out for this.
Yeah,
you
are put out for it, but I will say in some cases you're wholly put out, and in other people it's not a true general. So you can ask what they're using.
Okay. I don't know if I can get a hold of somebody before Monday, but and just kind of, I don't know. It's one of these things where it seems like, and I don't like to be sounding like this, but it seems like everything lately has been going wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm just in one of these spirals in mm-hmm. my life, and I think a lot of people go through them. And, you know, I mean, I'm at the same time, I know I'm very fortunate. I still have my partner. I haven't, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, I know a lot of people that are going through a lot of worse stuff than I am. And yet, I just feel like everything's going wrong. Oh, right. No, it's going to go, what's next?
Absolutely. You're waiting for the next shoe to drop.
Yeah.
You're saying, one of these days, it's going to be the straw, and my back will be gone. No, I understand. Big time. Well,
yeah.
This is the most common kidney stone treatment. And you're lucky when it can be used, because there are types of stones that it can't be used. What basically?
I know, he told me about those.
Yeah, no, I mean, then that becomes really major surgery. So this is shockwaves, and what the goal is to target it exactly, and then cause the stone to fragment in such a way that you'll pass them. So,
right.
Yeah, and they supposedly, you know, break them into grain of sand type pieces. Like I say, when you've got a stone that can be treated this way, you're really more in luck. And so they probably told you they put a water-filled cushion either on your abdomen or behind your kidney, depending on where the stone is. You know, they target it precisely with a shock wave. And they used to put the patient in a tub of lukewarm water. No, they're not going to do that anymore. It's a water-filled cushion. I'm almost positive they don't put you in water anymore. But, you know, you will not, like I say, you won't be awake for this for the most part. And again, it could be light sedation to a general anesthesia and everything in between. I mean, technically, it could be done with a local, but I don't think I would in this case. But maybe a local and light sedation. I mean, I don't know how you do on general anesthesia. You know, I avoid it like the plague just because I react to it. But
yeah, no, I've never had a problem with it.
Then you'll be fine.
Except in the really old days when they used ether.
Oh, no. Well, right. Exactly. Yeah. Gasoline, anyone? No.
But I've never...
if you've never had a problem...
Weird is that,
yeah, you won't have a problem with this either then. You know.
Yeah.
If you did, so, then we'd talk about what else you could do. And so... bottom line is it's not a very lengthy process, and you usually, it's always outpatient. Usually you're out of there quickly. So, you know, you can get up and walk away. It's most people resume whatever activities they had by the next day, you know. So
it's not going to be something that I'm going to be in pain for a week.
Shouldn't be. Now, I will say this, drink the water. Okay, because what you're trying to do is get the stone fragments to pass, and that can take weeks. But you will probably not.
One of the things that he was telling me about was that sometimes the fragments can get caught, and if that happens, then that's a real major thing. You know?
Like, well,
so I'm,
you know, that's if they've got them to small enough pieces, it shouldn't be the case. And so, you know, you're going to have some abdominal pain, but not anything where you're saying it's more like ache, you know, you know, for most people. But the water is the biggest thing you can do. But in the meantime, they should give you painkillers just in case. So you've got something you can take if you want to.
I hope so. They took me off my painkillers for my arthritis because they're bad for my kidneys.
Yes, they are.
Problem is now I've got, you know, constant pain in my shoulders and
arms
and neck and so on and so forth. And so I'm telling my doctor, you know, I've got to find something I can take.
Right.
And don't tell me Tylenol.
Oh, God, no. Absolutely not.
All they tell, Tylenol.
No.
Tylenol, I might as well drink water.
Well.
It does nothing for me.
Yeah.
Actually, the water is probably more useful.
Yeah. You know, the only danger you would have, you know, the thing about getting something stuck is if it wasn't blasted into small enough pieces. But if this guy has done an awful lot of them, chances are good that it won't be a problem. It will be completely broken up.
Yeah.
And if that's the case.
I'm probably just getting an old bunch of anxiety over nothing.
Well, no, I mean, come on. It's absolutely normal. I mean, no matter what you say, this is invasive. Even though it's minimally invasive, it's still invasive. So sure. But definitely walk out of there with some good painkillers in case you need them. And, you know, it's pretty damn successful. Now I won't say 100% successful, but it's, how big is the stone?
It's less than an inch. I think he said it was like a quarter of an inch.
All right. So we're talking about probably a centimeter, maybe.
Yeah. I almost thought about not doing it because he said, well, I don't think that's the cause of your... Because I went in because I'm having abdominal pains. And he says, well, I don't think this is the cause of it. So I thought, well, if it's not the cause of it, why do you want to take it out? But
well, that's up to you, by the way. If you don't think it's necessary, is the size of the stone one that he thinks could naturally pass?
He didn't say that. He just, when I got the report back, I just saw a thing that said, because I didn't get, you know, I got my report from my chart, which I couldn't read half of it. So I called him back, and he said, well, it's about a quarter of an inch, and shouldn't be a problem. So he doesn't seem to be too concerned about it.
Well,
I'm just, you know, it's like, oh, no, pain.
Yeah, no, I understand. Well, the reality is the pain that you will have from this, and there will be some, but I think it'll be more like aches in most people's case, but would be less than if you got one of these things stuck. I mean, then you're talking the kind
Yeah. So no, I've had problems with those areas before. And
then
no,
you know, no. You know, that's scrape yeah. yourself off the ceiling pain. And I understand that. So from that standpoint, you might say, hey, I don't want the risk of that. You know, on the other hand, if you were so afraid of the surgery, you were saying, well, I'll see if it'll pass on its own. You know, that's a legitimate decision, too. Obviously, you've thought about it and you think that going through this is the way to go. And, you know, again, with a small stone, it has a pretty good rate. With a bigger stone, well, not as good. 50-50.
Okay.
But
and I'm sorry. So I guess somebody's guide dog is ill.
I don't know. We're going to talk to a Karen from Chicago. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because, I mean, when I lost my dog, oh, my God, that was just, and I wasn't able to be with her.
Oh, no.
And that is my biggest regret. That
yes.
I wasn't able to be with her, and I was thinking about Johnny D today, and I just started crying and crying and crying. Oh. And I thought, why am I crying? And I said, Fran, you're crying because you didn't get to be with Bertine when she died.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely true.
I didn't get to hold her. I didn't get to tell her I loved her.
And why was that?
So many years ago, I can't remember. It was something about I couldn't get there or... Oh. It, you know, was just, I found out and then it was done and they didn't even ask me
okay.
if I wanted to come. They
all
just,
right.
you know, told me that this was, you know, she had hip dysplasia, that she was in a lot of pain. They asked me what I wanted to do and I said, please, I don't want her in pain. You know, do what you have to do.
All right.
But I should have said, you know, please wait. Please let me be there.
Exactly. Well, yes, I understand
and
that.
And I didn't push it. I let them tell right. me what to do and how to do things and, you know.
Yeah.
So that's my biggest regret, really, as far as that goes. I mean, I have,
yeah.
that's one of my big regrets that I was not able to be with her. So
I understand.
It's good it's good that Johnny D, you know, was able to be.
Yes.
With Caesar.
Right, and Becky was too. They both were there.
Yeah,
yeah, and
They were both there.
Yes,
that's great.
Yes, so
yeah.
It's so important, and I think a lot of people don't understand. They think, oh well, the dog won't know the difference. The dog absolutely will know the difference.
Yeah, so, I remember when I was 7 years old, I had a little poodle, and he had to be put down.
Mm.
And I could hear him crying as my mother was taking me out of the vet's. Because she would not let me go back there.
Oh.
And I said, I want Petey, I want Petey. And she's, no, honey, you know, he has to go now.
Well.
And so you have to let him go.
She should have been with him then if she wasn't having you be with him. Somebody should have been with him. But
yeah, nobody was with him.
Yeah.
And I remember hearing, because we were walking out, and I remember he had a kind of a bark and whine that was for me.
Right.
I know it was for me. It was my bark, my whine that he wanted
right.
me.
Right. I'm so sorry. I know exactly what that's like.
And it still to this day hurts.
Of course it does. Oh, yeah, that's what I mean. People who are not pet lovers and pet owners don't understand how strong the bond is. But it is. And,
I mean, especially with a guide dog, because that guide dog is
your life.
Has your life
yes.
in its paws.
Absolutely.
Basically. And you get such a bond with that dog.
You betcha.
Like, you know, I mean, I've had other dogs, but no other dogs have I bonded with to that extent.
Right.
So my heart goes out to, I don't know what's going on yet, but if something, you know, my heart goes out to her.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll find out coming up in moments. And keep me posted, Fran. If you can, call Monday night for trivia. I think you'll be up to it.
Okay. All right. I don't call for trivia, you know I'm in pain.
Oh, God. No, I don't even want to think that. Then call me the next night. All right. Thanks.
I'll be there.
Appreciate it. All right. So, yeah, prayers for a friend, but I think that it's probably going to be as uneventful as it gets. All right. We will get to Karen, find out about that guide dog. Laurie from Chicago has some requests. James on the South Side's got stories. Oh, does he ever? All that and more coming up on WGN Radio.
If you want me to love you, you gotta love me too. If you want me to hug you, you gotta hug me too. 'Cause I ain't giving up nothing if I can get something from you. If you want me to kiss you, you gotta kiss me too.
James, Priscilla Bowman and the Spaniels. Yeah, and that's the flip side of Rockin' Good Way, and that is I Ain't Giving Up Nothing. And Jimmy P. had wanted a Spaniels record, and if it ain't one thing, it's another, and I didn't have it. And so I thought, well, I've certainly got I Ain't Giving Up Nothing, so let's go with that. All right, 888-876-5593. We'll be back to Karen and her guide dog and Lori and her requests and James on us and his stories. But there's still plenty of room for you on WGN Radio.
Mira, estoy loco por tu amor. Los hombres no me oran. Tú me haces llorar. Ay, 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 ay. Y tú me haces llorar. Me extraña. Pero cuando beso tus labios quiero. Yo quiero gritar, ay, 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 no sabes cómo te quiero. Me loco, loco, enamorado con pasión, mira, estoy loco por tu amor.
Well, that was as close as he got to a hit. Got to number 66 in 1963 nationally. Keith Colley, Enamorado. All right, so, yeah, he was from Spokane. As far as I know, the closest he got to Spanish was probably 7th grade ALM lessons or something. But nonetheless, Enamorado was a minor hit. But I played it because I mentioned before that when Jimmy P won the Magic Lanterns, Shame, Shame, I often think that, well, actually, the first guy to do it is the guy who wrote it, and that was Keith Colley.
Choose no wrong from right.
think the Magic Lanterns did a nicer version of that, but either way, Keith got paid since he wrote it. So 888-876-5593. Karen in Chicago, so tell me about the guide dog.
Hi, yeah, this was a few years ago, but I remember it like it was yesterday.
Of course.
She was a yellow Labrador. Her name was Duchess, and she was with me probably 13 years. And when she passed away, now, my first two, I wasn't with them. They had gotten to where they couldn't work and were adopted, one by my godparents and one by a gentleman in the suburbs who found out about him and adopted him. But I was with Duchess, and I will never forget taking her to that day to the veterinarian, and I kept putting it off, and I realized it was, you know, Duchess is suffering.
Right.
Well, the thing, when you give up a guide dog, it hurts like hell. I mean, you know, any pet hurts. I go to pieces every time. I even, over my cats, I went nuts. But it's like you're giving up your freedom. The next thing you know, and I was always a very poor cane traveler. Well, once, when you have a guide dog, it's like nothing like you can imagine. You're like free. You can go anywhere you want. I could ride buses. Now you can take long walks. And being a poor cane traveler, I couldn't do that. I could take buses up to a point. Well, now I can't because I have arthritis. But at that time, it was just horrible. It's such an incredible adjustment because you're so used to going out the door, heading for work. You know, you just take off like anybody else. But all of a sudden, now you've lost this freedom, and you've also lost a friend.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you, after Duchess passed, did you get another dog?
I tried, but she did not work out. She was very hyper, and we'd go after dogs, and they advised me to send her back.
Okay.
And by that time, I just, oh, man, I don't know if I can take any more.
Oh, that's a shame. I would think you'd do wonderfully well with a dog, the right dog.
Yeah, well, by that time, I had had knee replacements, and the arthritis was kind of getting a little bit tough to handle, and I thought, you know, maybe I need to just, you know, give it up. This was by 2006, I think, when the last one I just had to give up because she couldn't. She would go after other dogs. I remember being on the corner of Western and I can't remember the other street. Fortunately, I was with a sighted friend, and Isabel saw another dog and went nuts right in the middle of Western and tried to jump out after the dog. And fortunately for me, my friend was able to pull her back, and between the two of us, we got across the street.
Well,
but at that point, I said,
that sounds unusual. I'm not doubting it for a minute, but usually the dogs are vetted better than that.
Normally, it's just on rare occasions that they just don't adapt well.
Right. Well,
they're hyper. She was hyper, too.
I understand that, but they you know, sadly, they didn't do their job because she didn't turn hyper just because she was with you. But I'm sorry that you couldn't find a way to have another dog because it probably would have done you a world of good.
Oh, yeah. Well, then I had my cats, and every time a cat died, I went to pieces. Now, because the arthritis has gotten to a point where I'm thinking probably more of the animal safety than anything else, because I'm getting to where it's hard to walk. I had a hip replacement last year, and I think I'm going to have another one soon. And so I just think for everybody concerned, I'm holding off. And I'm 79 now. And I am concerned about when something happens to me, who's going to take care of my pet?
Yeah, sadly, when you hit our good old septuagenarian years, it's absolutely a consideration. And that's something you should be thinking about in terms of who would you like to take care of the pet and who would be somebody who'd be good at doing it.
Yeah, and that's the problem. And you ask people, and then you wonder, well, who do I know who would actually do it?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people's circumstances change, too. And what if somebody said, yeah, I'd love to do it, and then at that point,
yeah, right,
there's somewhere where they can't have a pet.
Right. Things happen, no doubt about it. But if you had had a short list of even half a dozen people who might be promising candidates, it might be kids of friends of yours, for instance. Just get yourself enough of them that it's sort of in order, you know?
I am still considering getting a cat. Because I don't have to worry about going for walks or anything, which I love to walk with my dogs, but I can't do it unless it's a guide dog.
Well, I still say it sounds to me like you should have a guide dog. I wouldn't take you off of that list. That's my feeling. But
I would love it if I can. If I have to have another hip replacement, I may try and do it again.
Yeah, well, obviously,
if I'm still healthy,
right. Oh, of course, but if you have to do a hip replacement, obviously it's the surgery and then it's the rehab of getting you back to where you're mobile. But let me ask you, with the first hip replacement, was it successful? Or are you out of pain on that side?
Yes, it was very, very successful.
Well,
I had it a year ago in July, and I have not had any problems with that one. Now I'm having it with the right one.
Well, that's not an uncommon situation, especially when one side had so much more pain, it almost masked the pain that was on the quote-unquote good side. So your story is fairly commonplace, but if it's worked well and you know that, and you're sitting there in pain and your life is limited because of it, maybe it's time to say, hey, I'll do this.
Yeah, and I'm thinking now, I'm going to try one more cortisone shot. The last couple of them worked. I'm going to try one more. If it doesn't last any longer than the last one, I'm going to have to bite the bullet.
Yeah.
Go for the hip.
Right.
As long as I can avoid going into a nursing home for rehab.
Well, set up your rehab before home. Beforehand.
Oh, I am.
It doesn't need to be a nursing home. In fact, nursing homes are not the best place for rehab.
No, they're not. They had given me, the last, when I talked to my doctor about it, he gave me the names of three nursing homes because what happened, they had closed the rehab where I was when I had the one on the left side, and they were an excellent, excellent rehab center, and they closed because of money, of course.
Yeah.
And then I said, well, I refuse to go to a nursing home. If there's a way that we can find a rehab center, yes, I'll do it.
Well, the bottom line is you don't have to accept a nursing home, and I would not in this type of a situation. And that's not to cast aspersion at nursing homes, but that's not what they're best at. And you absolutely want a rehab facility. And there's,
I'm afraid of, in a nursing home, I'm afraid of COVID.
Well, you know, I mean, for one thing, wherever you go should be all private patient rooms.
Yeah.
I'm a very big
believer in that.
And
another thing was that I have AFib. And when I was at St. Joseph's where I had my right hip done, I had an incident with the AFib, and they said, well, we're going to take you down to cardio, and we want to monitor you for a day.
Mm-hmm.
So they did that, and then they brought me back up to the rehab center. Everything was fine. And my doctor said, you know, I'm glad that you were here when that happened.
Right.
I would not want to have you in a nursing home because would they react fast enough?
Well, again, you're in charge of, you know, picking the places that you're willing to go. And as I say, I'd make sure it was a great rehab facility. I know if it was a stroke, I'd tell you the only place to go is Shirley Ryan Abilities Lab. They're just so good in Chicago. But I'm sure there's somebody who's terrific at simple hip replacements, because this is what this is. It's fairly simple. But but make sure, no matter where it is, that it's fully private patient rooms, no semi-private rooms.
Oh, definitely. Now, the last one, because they had that rehab center, they let me stay longer than they normally do because there were some things I had to learn,
mm-hmm.
you know, And then I, where I live, I have seven steps. When I come in, I have to go down mm-hmm. seven steps to get to my door. And, of course, going up to go out, well, that was an issue. So they wanted to work with me a little more.
Mm-hmm.
And they kept me longer than they normally would keep somebody. And they said part of it was because I couldn't see and I had things,
right.
Extra things.
Right.
So that's what I want to get if I can find a rehab center.
You can.
Get that help.
You can.
Yeah.
You're you know, it's not like you're in Hayes, Kansas. You're in a major metropolitan
no.
area with a ton of resources. So keep me posted and feel better and consider that guide
yeah.
dog. I think you do great with
and
one.
And my heart goes out to Johnny and
yes.
to Johnny D and also to Fran. I love to listen to her because she and I have so many of the same ideas and the same things happening. And my prayers go to her too.
All right, good deal. Well, thanks. We'll talk to you soon, Karen. Appreciate it.
And thank
All right.
you.
All right.
And keep playing those Manhattans.
Yeah, boy, you betcha. All right, thanks.
All right,
bye. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. Nothing better than early Manhattans on Carnival. I know that Karen loves them, and yeah, I do too. I realized later they had all the hits on Columbia and all that, but no, I like any of those. It's these. It's the Carnival records. A couple of the deluxes, too. All right, so 888-876-5593. As usual, we have a big thanks to James for his 4,832 stories. All right, James, so yeah. I got to tell you this one. I'm sure you read it, too, about Southwest Airlines making some changes. So I get to this sentence, and I can't imagine. Now, here we go. The airline said passengers can still purchase the early bird service, but the option is unavailable for some customers looking to purchase it. What does that mean?
Okay, it sounds like doublespeak, because when I then my phone decided to basically block up, and then she said, okay, now I can't go back to the... Absolutely,
oh, no.
I'm saying.
Thank you,
phone, very much.
Yeah, I guess. Well, now what I also found interesting was that Southwest, obviously a budget airline that doesn't normally offer assigned seats or priority boarding, has gotten this early bird option that starts at $15 and goes up depending on how long the flight is and how many people want the seats. But it was interesting how much money they make on this. In early bird fees alone, they made $100 million during the second quarter. Which, you know, in round dollars is only about 1.5% of their total revenue. But even so, $100 million. But, yeah, we offer this.
That's
but
nice change.
It is. We offer this, but you can't buy it. You've ended the night. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right. So on that
okay.
note, we thank Bob
thank
for...
You.
Thanks, appreciate it, James. And sorry, Lori, we didn't get to your request, but we've got next week. We thank Bob for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank you for calling. Live Monday Night Trivia on Monday. Tomorrow night is a replay. Don't call, but we'll talk to you Monday. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.